Book of Ephesians, kind of brokenly. We've had some off weeks with some different things. Last week we talked a little bit about our core values and that kind of thing. And I just wanted to start off tonight by encouraging you guys once again just about who we are as a group, that we are out to serve Jesus by believing what the Bible says and doing what the Bible says. And that's why we're here. That's what this youth group's all about. And I hope that's what you're all about. You know, I mean, no matter how small or big we are, our purpose is to serve Jesus in whatever ways we can and to reach a lost and dying world. You guys have kind of pointed out, and you don't have to look around a lot to see that with this, you know, summer and the start of a new school year, you know, we kind of dwindle down to kind of our core group of you guys who show up, you know, religiously, and you're here and you're devoted to it. And there's a lot of our friends that are out there and they have things going on because there's a lot of stuff with the beginning of the school year, and there's other friends that you have that you could be inviting in to come. And if you haven't been doing that, I encourage you to be bold and tell your friends about what you believe and that you need to, or that they need to know about Jesus and invite them to come to youth group. I'll encourage you guys that at the beginning, about this time last year, this group was half this size. And it was through what you guys did and telling your friends about God and inviting them to come to youth group and things like the fall retreat and stuff last year that we grew into such an awesome size that we did last year. Now, numbers, I'm not all about numbers. I don't want you to think that. But if we're going to reach people for Jesus, that means your friends are going to be here and hopefully you're talking to them about Jesus outside of church and that kind of thing. So I just want to encourage you guys just to remember to do that. Remember that to be realizing and understanding that your friends need God, and you might be the only person who ever cares enough to tell them about him. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dig into this, and then we'll hit our small groups. Dear God, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for the people that you've brought here. I know that you have a purpose for everyone sitting in this room, being here tonight. I pray that you speak through me. I pray that your word is strong and powerful, and that tonight we can just honor and glorify you in our words, our actions, and through this time where we hear from your word, God. I pray this in your name. Amen. All right, so we're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Right now, we're going to read just 11 through 13. It'll be up on the screen. It's also on your sheets. And I'm gonna preface this with kind of a plea for your understanding, because this is not an easy passage for me to sit here and talk to a bunch of high school girls about. No offense, Brandon. But since most of you are girls, the words and stuff, and you'll see what I'm talking about, but what the subject is, it can be a little awkward, and we won't let it get awkward as much as possible, but it's important, and so we're going to cover it. So, reading 11 through 13, it says, "Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth are called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done by the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Okay, if we just stop there and that was our verse and I was like, get it? You guys would be like, no, I don't get it. And that's because there is a lot of history with the Israelites and them being God's people that happened. And one of the biggest things that happened was in the early days when God had declared the Israelites his chosen people, there was a family dispute, and we're not going to get into this a lot because we could talk about this for a long time, but there was a family dispute where one person was Jewish and the member of his family wasn't Jewish, and they had a disagreement about that, and so they had some disdain from each other, and they became to know as the Jewish or the Israelites and the Gentiles. And Gentile is just a word that describes someone who's not Jewish. I don't know if any of you guys have Jewish background here, but I'm pretty sure most of the people, if not all of us in this room, are Gentiles. That just means we're not Jewish. That's all that it means. You know, and So there was kind of these two groups of people, and the Israelites in the Old Testament are known as God's chosen people, and he chose to use them to kind of play out the story that he was making into the Old Testament. And the Israelites, they took that very seriously. They thought that that was a great honor because it was and is. And so they wanted to set themselves apart. And that's key point number one. The Jews used circumcision to set themselves apart. And this is kind of where the awkward part of it is, because we're not going to dwell on what is or isn't circumcision. If you don't know, I'm not telling you. Right, small group time. Yeah, that'll be fun for you guys to explain. Circumcision is just something that is done to the male reproductive parts when they're born, or sometimes later on. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say about it. But it made a physical difference on a man's body to where someone would know whether or not they were Jewish or not. That's weird. I get that that's weird. We're not going to just kind of like pretend it's not weird. It's weird. And I can't fully explain to you why that's how they chose to do it. But in the midst of all of this, that is what they made law. Why you would have to show off your privates to prove that you're a Jew, I can't explain that to you. It's weird. I'm not going to walk around that. It was said, and the Jews believed through all of the Old Testament and the law that they were God's chosen people, and that was true. They were, and they every Jewish man had to be circumcised, and if anybody came from the outside to become part of the Jewish faith, they had to be circumcised, and it was not an option. Okay, it was law. And the disdain between the Jews and the Gentiles had grown so much over the generations that there were even laws in the Jewish faith that would say if a Gentile woman was on the side of the road giving birth to a child all alone, you weren't allowed to help her because you would be assisting in a Gentile coming into this world. Okay? Like ugly, nasty feud stuff. Like not God-honoring stuff. Not okay stuff. So you have these two groups of people, and the one group of people God has chosen as his people in the Old Testament, and he makes a covenant with them. Covenant is kind of a big word. It's a little bit of a church word, not completely, but it's kind of like, I don't want to say it's a contract because it's more than a contract. It's an oath. We'll call it an oath. God makes an oath with the Israelites saying, you will be my people, and if you follow me, I will lead you. First of all, he says, out of Egypt into the promised land, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Okay, and so the Old Testament is full of the Israelites turning back to God and straying from God, and turning back to God and straying from God, and the struggle that they have, always turning from God, and God rebuking them and bringing famine and wars upon them to get them to turn back to him. And it's kind of a confusing mess of all of this. And in the midst of this, there's all these other people in the world who aren't even included in the story yet. And that's the Gentiles. That's the non-Jews. So the Jews, they had set themselves apart. And that's really what you need to take from that first part. Deuteronomy 7:6, this is just an example to show you kind of God's attitude towards the Jews. He says, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. So in the Old Testament, the covenant he makes, this is who the Israelites were, and we don't get a lot of information about how everybody else in the world fits into that puzzle. Just to kind of give you an idea of how the disdain between them started. Any of you guys watch Discovery or History Channel a lot at all? Am I the only nerd in here that watches that kind of stuff? There's this new show, and I haven't watched it, but I've seen a lot of previews for it called Hatfields and McCoys White Lightning. It's on Netflix already. It's like started like a week ago. But the Hatfields and McCoys are this famous families from the South that, because of a dispute over like a lost pig, they ended up hating each other, and they still hate each other to this day. And none of them, I mean, this was like generations ago. This was probably like 100 years ago. And to this day, both families just still hate each other, and there's been lives taken from people over this feud. People have been put in jail buildings have been burned down, crazy, crazy, just stupid stuff over small things that built up over time. And that is why you end up with laws in the Jewish faith about not helping a woman who's giving birth to a child because she's a Gentile. Okay, that wasn't God-honoring. That wasn't something God wanted them to do. It was, that's just the ugliness of humanity when we let feuds kind of get to that point. So not that the Jews were acting rightly, but they had been deemed God's chosen people, and the Gentiles were kind of left out of the picture till this point. And that this is why this is so important. Picking up at verse 14, "For he himself is our peace," talking about Jesus, "who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. By setting aside his flesh, the law with his commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Okay, so this is a big deal stuff that Paul's saying, because if this wasn't true, what he's saying, if this wasn't part of God's plan, we would still be on the outside of God's plan because we're Gentiles. Okay, like I said, I mean, if any of you are from the Jewish background, that's cool, but I think I'm 99% sure all of us in here are not Jewish. So we are Gentiles, and Gentiles were left out of the picture. And that wasn't because God cared more about the Israelites than the Gentiles. He was just working out his entire plan, and he chose to use the Israelite nation to work out the Old Testament, all leading up to this one moment, the Messiah coming to save, to free God's people. And here's some things that they didn't understand, they being the Jewish people. And we've talked about the Pharisees a lot. The Pharisees were the Jewish religious leaders, and we talk about them in a negative way a lot. But one thing that we have to understand about the Pharisees is until Jesus came, they were the good guys. I mean, they were the leaders of the Israelite people who were God's chosen people. Where they go wrong is the whole Bible is leading up to the Messiah coming. And so when Jesus comes and then they reject him, that's when they stray and that's when they go wrong. And that's because their hearts were selfish and hardened, and they didn't want Jesus to be the Messiah because they didn't like the way that he came to serve, the way that he came humbly, and that he didn't just come basically to destroy the Roman power above them. And so when you think about the Pharisees and you take a look at how they lived and the things that they did, they're going to be pretty upset to hear Paul say that this was God's plan all along, because they believe that the Messiah was coming to save them and free them from worldly powers. When in reality, the whole Old Testament was leading up to this point where the Messiah comes and he frees everyone from the slavery of sin. Okay, they missed the picture. You guys tracking with me on that? They thought they were being freed from worldly power. They were waiting for another exodus, like out of Egypt. Like, they're waiting for God to bring his wrath on the Roman Empire and free them from that. And God said, I'm really kind of done with the whole, like, world power freeing you, chasing you around, waiting for you to come back to me cycle of things. What I'm doing is so much bigger than that. Our entire world is enslaved to sin and needs to be freed from a much bigger problem. And Jesus comes, and he doesn't come the way that the Jews thought, so they reject him. He doesn't say the things that they expect him to say, so they reject him. He says he's not there to solidify their law. He's there to solidify God's glory. And so when Jesus died, and then his apostles start preaching things like this, saying, Christ broke open that covenant. It's no longer just between God and Israel. It's between God and everyone, because Jesus' blood covered everyone's sins. Whoever believed in him will go to heaven. And the Jews were so hard-hearted, they didn't want that. They didn't want everybody else in, like, to be part of the club. They just wanted all of this for themselves. They had gotten so haughty in their place as God's chosen people. Key number two, Christ's sacrifice destroyed the division and made all who accept Jesus God's people. this one moment in history where God sends his son and Jesus lives a perfect life and he dies and he raises again, shattered all other structure that had been set in place by the hands of men. And I think God planned it and did it this way just to show that his way is best, just so we would understand that no matter what we try to do and what we try to create and how we try to organize things in this world, his way will always be better, even if we don't understand it. And that's the lesson that the Jews were having to learn at this time. And for them, I can understand a little bit their selfishness about it, because if you think about it, like the things that we kind of idolize in today's world, like think about your favorite band and like imagine you get a personal letter from them that's like, hey, we're coming to the iWireless Center and I know that's near you and like we just want you to come hang out with us. Like, you'd be like, sweet. And you'd be like, yeah, and you'd wear something nice and you put on your girly perfume and hope that one of the boys in One Direction wasn't like dating anybody yet. And you'd probably leave Mr. Whiskers at home. And you'd head down there and you'd head down there thinking you were on top of the world. You were so cool that this band pointed you out and that they're super famous and popular and you're gonna go down, you're gonna hang out with them. Okay? And that doesn't connect with you, maybe a sports figure or just think of some like a celebrity that would probably never pay any attention to you. Imagine you get this letter and they just want to hang out with you. But imagine then you get there and you realize that like 10,000 other people got the same letter. And you're like standing behind like 6,000 of them and you can kind of see them up there. And you're like, this isn't hanging out. This is, and that's a little bit of a silly way to look at it. But that's kind of how the Jewish people felt a little bit. Like, well, we were God's chosen people and now you're just killing all of that, and that doesn't matter anymore. Everybody's equal now, and that was a hard pill for them to swallow a little bit. Key number three: we need to be like Christ, not the Pharisees. We need to be like Christ, not the Pharisees. And here's what I mean by that: when the Jewish people's hearts were so hard that that's all they could focus on, they missed the truth and the greatness of what God was doing. Because God is a God of love. And for us to be Christ-like, we are to be servants and to be all about love. And so for us to sit back and say, and I'll admit that I've done this, because you know what? Some people are really hard to get along with. You guys ever like met somebody that's just, you try really hard, but they're just super hard to get along with? There are people in life that are just super, super hard to get along with. Mallory and I call them EGR people, extra grace required. Because some people, you just, whatever reason, your personality does not mesh with theirs. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. And so when you think about those people and then you're like, well, I should probably invite them to youth group. But then they'd be at youth group. And I already have to deal with them at school all day long. Come on, you guys know the people I'm talking about, right? And we're all guilty of that in one way or another. But the reality is that no matter if it's the people that it's hard to get along with or just your friends, and you're hiding behind the fear of maybe being rejected by them, or maybe you're just scared because you feel like you don't know what to say. When you choose not to share your faith with the people you interact with every day, you basically make the same decision the Pharisees did when they rejected Jesus and rejected the Gentiles. You're basically saying, nah, this is good enough for me, but not for you. I don't want to share this with you. Okay, and when you do that, you're making a choice. And the choice that you're making is to leave their salvation completely to chance. Because you have no guarantee that anybody else is ever going to take the time to love that person enough to tell them about Jesus. You have no guarantees of that. And if you don't do it, it might not ever happen. And if they died tonight, done. So when I talk about the important things about this ministry and the core values of what we're about and the importance of telling your friends about Jesus and getting them here so that we can, you know, we can teach them and hang out with them and grow with them and hopefully see them come to know Jesus and the importance of that, you know, it's not just because I want to see this room filled with teenagers. I do. I really do. Like, I would love to have to move to the sanctuary because you guys have been inviting so many friends there. Like, of course, that would get me excited. But what gets me more excited is when you guys start bringing your friends on a consistent basis, like last year was, we talked about this last week. It was so cool to be a part of last year. Just so many of your friends came in and they came to know Christ. And their lives, their eternities are changed forever, forever. No one can take that from them. Okay? Some of you in this room are those people that last year was the most important year of your life because you came to know your Savior and he saved you through your faith that you've now put in him, and your eternity is, I'm trying to think about eternity. Like, can you grasp eternity? Like, it's just, everything else in life has a beginning and an end. Like, you're born and you die. You go to school and school ends at 1 o'clock because it's like 3,000 degrees outside. And everything has a beginning and an ending. And it starts and finishes. And you UT kids are like air conditioning. Everything has a beginning and ending. Try and grasp eternity. Try to think about something that doesn't have a beginning point or an end point. It's just there. It's always, it's forever. It exists. Let me tell you a truth. Every person in this room, every person you ever meet, they will be around for eternity. We kind of get our wording messed up. Like, oh, I'm going to live forever now. Well, yeah. And that word live, you know, is defined as having life, like, in God. But to say, oh, I'm going to live forever and someone else isn't, no, it's not like if you don't come to know Jesus, you just go in the ground and you're done and you're gone and oh, well. Like, everybody's going to be around forever. We were created as our spirits will be around forever. They are eternal. And you're either going to be separated from God or with God. Separated from God is a place called hell. And that's just the punishment that we deserve for our sin. And if your sins aren't covered because you haven't given your life to Jesus, then that's your eternity. I'm fairly confident that most everybody in this room has given their life to Christ. And that's so awesome. I'm so excited to know that your eternity is in heaven with God, rejoicing and praising him abundantly. There'll be no more tears or sorrows or hurts or pains. It's going to be amazing. I had an old worship pastor that was just like, I think heaven's just going to be like one big honking worship service. It's like, yeah, that'd be sweet. Like, I mean, I don't know what exactly it was going to be like. I just know that the Bible, like, tries to use words, like human words to describe it, and it, like, can't even justify what our God has in store for us when we get to heaven. But here's the thing. All these other people in our life that we choose not to tell about God, they're going to be around forever, too. They're going to be around forever, too, and their only hope might be you telling them about Jesus. When I was a junior in high school, maybe a sophomore, I had only faced death one time when my grandma died when I was a little bit younger, and my great aunt, but just kind of some older people in my life, you know, and I kind of had this understanding as people get old and then they die, and that's kind of easy to grasp. If you guys been to, like, funerals of, like, older people that had been dying for a while, like, of course it's sad because someone died, but, like, it's not, like, depressing because everybody kind of has this attitude of, like, they lived a good life, and especially if they're a Christian, everybody knows, like, oh, they're in heaven now, they're so much better off, this is good, this is, you know, it seems bad, but it's a good thing. But I don't know if you guys have had the experience of going to a funeral of a young person. It's very different. It's very, very different experience. And when I was in high school, some people, I didn't really know them very well. I knew of them, but I had some friends who were really close with them that lived out in Geneseo, and they were out in their car with the back roads one night, and there was this part of the road where there was, like, a little creek and a little bridge that went over it that was kind of a bump, and they thought it'd be sweet to take their car as fast as they can, see if they could get it airborne. And they did, right into the tree next to it, and they wrapped that car around it, and every one of them died. Boom, gone, 17 years old, for people. That was it. That was it for them. Like I said, I didn't even really know them. I have no idea if anybody ever took the time to tell them about Jesus, but I bet you they had friends who sat in youth groups just like this that thought, we're young, it's fine, we're good. And they chose not to tell them about that, about their faith, about their God, about the salvation that they could have. Like I said, I don't know if those guys were Christians or not, but 17, that was it. You don't know how long your friends and your family have on this earth. What are you going to do about it? Christ broke down the barriers. There's no separation. We're all equal in God's eyes, and he loved us all enough to die for us. I believe that if you were the only person on the planet, Jesus still would have died for you. I believe that that's our God. But you're not. There's billions of people on this planet. He died for all of them, and he gave us one job on this earth, and that is to tell his story. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, thank you so much for tonight, for your message. Just as usual, God, you're just amazing. You just rock my world with your truth. Bless the people in this room. Bless their friends. Bless the time and conversations that they'll have together. And just give us courage to tell people about you, God. I know it's not always easy. I know that sometimes people reject us, and that's not easy. But they need to know the truth, God, and I pray